I think there's a theme going this morning. We don't have to fear. God's fighting our battles. And we're going to continue this morning with our series on God's protection. Hallelujah. Do you hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying? We don't have to fear. We have cards. If you haven't received your bookmark this month, we're going to get ready to read our proclamations. So if there's an usher that can, our pastor Cheryl's right here. She's our care pastor. She will take care of you. Just raise your hand if you need one of those. Thank you, Rachel. We're going to read our proclamations this morning. Thank you, Lord. We have some in Spanish, I think, if you need one in Spanish. Thank you, Lord. It's good to see everyone this morning. It's good to be here with you. Amen. Good to see Sister Sonia. Been away with family, and so glad she's back. Amen. Wonderful to have Lydia and Charles here today. Longtime members of the River of Life. We love them. Appreciate them. Appreciate all of you. Did you enjoy that today, Joyce? Yes, our sister from Kenya. Yes, we've been looking forward to this day. And we're so thankful to be here because God is on the move. Do you sense him on the move? He's working. He's stirring. He's stirring on the inside of us. And I'm not sure what that is. Hallelujah. It's got to be my microphone. Testing, testing. If I... See? Well, if it does it too many times, I'll switch to handheld. All right, we're going to pray, and then we're going to declare our proclamations. And I think it'd be good if we would stand up to declare them this morning. Father, thank you for these proclamations this morning. Thank you for your word, for your truth, God, that you are the God that goes before us and fights our battles. Lord, you lead the way and you are behind us and you lay your hand upon us, Lord, as we journey through this earth, God. We thank you, Lord, for your word that is quick, it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Father, as the church declares, I thank you, Lord, that the word of the Lord goes out into the atmosphere. And Lord, that it goes before us and prepares the way for us. And those that we love and are connected to us and are in covenant with, God, we thank you for your word this morning to perform what it is sent out to do. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church said... Amen. Let's do our proclamations this morning. You can read them from your card, or we'll read them from the PowerPoint. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against me in judgment, I do condemn. This is my heritage as a servant of the Lord, and my righteousness is from you, O Lord of hosts. If there are those who have been speaking or praying against me, are seeking harm or evil to me, or who have rejected me, I forgive them. Having forgiven them, I bless them in the name of the Lord. Now I declare, O Lord, that you and you alone are my God, And besides you, there is no other. A just God and a Savior, and I worship you. I submit myself afresh to you in unreserved obedience. Having submitted to you, Lord, I do as your word directs. I resist the devil, all his pressures, his attacks, his deceptions, every instrument or agent he would seek to use against me. I do not submit. I resist him. Drive him from me and exclude him from me in the name of Jesus. Specifically, I reject and repel. Infirmity, pain, infection, inflammation, malignancies, allergies, viruses, and every form of witchcraft. Finally, Lord, I thank you that through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, I have passed out from under the curse and entered into the blessing of Abraham, whom you blessed in all things, exaltation, health, reproductiveness, prosperity, victory, and God's favor. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated this morning. And I'm going to ask Lydia if she'll come on up. She has a testimony to share this morning about God's protection. So let's give her a warm welcome.
Praise God again. Well, I have a testimony. I was traveling from Kansas back into Indiana. I had just gone for ministry in Kansas. And normally when I fly out, I try to drive all the way to South Bend, leave my car there, then take the bus. That way when I'm driving back tired, I don't have to worry about the traffic. So I took the bus from O'Hare, from Midway, on our way back. And in the bus, normally I would normally sit in the back just because of all the traffic when people are coming in and out, because I'm tired and I'm thinking of resting. And that particular day, I felt the Spirit of the Lord tell me not to sit in the back, to sit right up front. And you know how we normally say it? We say, something told me. Do you find yourself using that? I've learned that I shouldn't be saying, something told me. If I'm born again, it has to be the Spirit of the Lord. And within a few minutes, I was about to know why. Because down the road, as soon as we got into the interstate, the bus, we started smelling smoke. And we didn't know where the smoke was coming from. And one of the ladies was really aggravated. She went ahead and told the driver, I think something is burning in this bus. And the driver was older, so he said, I know my bus. Because I was sitting close to him, so I heard him say that. I know my bus. I don't smell anything. We'll be fine. So we drive all the way down, smelling like rubber. And as we were going farther and farther, the smell was getting stronger and stronger. We get into Michigan City. And, yeah, we were on fire. The bus was literally on fire, and the smoke could be seen outside, and of course it was coming in. So he goes in, and the people were dropping off at Michigan Port came out of the bus, and we were on our way back into the interstate. And the driver this whole time did not care to call whoever he needs to call for help. And just before we went out of the interstate, the bus was on fire, literally. I have a clip on YouTube that I had to post because I wanted to have a testimony of the protection of the Lord. Because at this time when it was in the back where I normally sit, the tile had literally started burning up. And people were waving at us to stop and nobody was stopping. So he looked in the rear mirror and he saw the fire. And at this time it was too late. There was nowhere else to park. We were close to two gas stations. So when we were driving in, people were filling up their cars, just literally ran off. You don't want your car to be burnt up. And we were thinking, and this time he stood up and he said, "Everybody get out and don't save your suitcases." And I'm thinking, well, this is a testimony for me. I'm taking pictures. And as soon as I got out, I thought, man, we would have burnt out if it wasn't for the interstate. And at that moment when I got home, of course, my husband had to come and pick me up from Michigan City because it was going to take 2 hours for them to bring another bus to come and get us. And I, as I was driving back, I thought about it and I went back to that minute when the Lord told me, sit up front. And I realized that when you learn to pray for God to increase His sensitivity of His voice in you, there's some things you won't just dismiss and say, that's just me. Oh, I'm just thinking. But just learning that when God protects you, He will give you every sign you need. And He will show you in so many different ways that I got your back. So just be encouraged because God has your back. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lydia. All right, let's read our scriptures this morning. The title of this message is No Weapon Formed Against You Shall Prosper. Isaiah 54:16, let's read it together. Behold, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the spoiler to destroy. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. And so this morning we're going to take a look at what this means. No weapon that's formed against us is going to prosper. In this chapter, chapter 54, I would encourage you to read it sometime this week because the Lord is talking to Israel and He is identifying with the distresses that they've been under and He's telling them, I was with you in those distresses. And so if you're struggling, going through something this morning, I want to encourage you, God is with you. He doesn't leave us alone, but He walks through these situations with us. And God doesn't stop there in this chapter. He keeps going and He begins to prophesy to Israel about the turnaround that is coming into their lives. And He says in verse 11, He says, afflicted city, lashed by storms and not comforted, I will rebuild you with stones of turquoise and your foundation with lapis lazuli. And I had to look that up. What in the world? Lapis lazuli. And it's actually a stone that is a sky blue color. And in the commentaries, it refers to it as the color that the Greeks wore on their eyelids. In other words, it's kind of the same color you might put on for eyeshadow. But anyway, God says, I'm going to rebuild you with these gorgeous stones. And He goes on and He keeps talking about how their children will be taught of the Lord. And they'll have great peace in the midst of their city. And He says, in righteousness, you will be established. Now, God keeps talking about this righteousness because back in verse 17, He said, and their righteousness is from me. You see, no weapon formed against us can prosper because we have the righteousness of God. The righteousness is the truth of God. It's the word of God. We gird up our loins with truth. We put on that breastplate of righteousness. And so we're covered with the righteousness of the Lord. No weapon formed against us. Weapons are going to form, church. But he gives us this hint as he talks to us in this chapter that nothing is going to prosper. In other words, the battle is already won. We've heard that several times this morning already. But another way to say it is the fight is fixed. It's already fixed. We know the outcome. So he hints on verse 16 that he created the blacksmith. Now the blacksmith had the ability to make the weapons, right? And he goes on and he says, and I created the spoiler to destroy. So he's telling us that he has created both of these things. He knows all about them. So he knows about every weapon that is being formed against us. Tell your neighbor you're going to get through this. Because God promises protection to his people. And like I shared, the fight is fixed. God's already destined us to win. And so no matter how hard the devil fights against us, we are already destined to win. We have to keep holding on to the Lord and not give up. The only way we're going to lose the battle is if we self-destruct or if we give in. And the battle gets intense, no doubt. And that's why we come together to worship the Lord, to encourage each other, to pray for each other, because we know that the battle gets intense every day. We are... Evil is coming against the church every day. Satan will do everything he can to keep us from prospering. But we got to remember that no weapons formed against us will prosper. You have a determined enemy who wants to destroy you. And so recognizing that there is a spiritual battle going on. And your enemy has formed weapons against you. And he will use temptations as weapons against you. So there's a real enemy out there that wants to destroy us, and we cannot get too comfortable. That would be like sending a soldier off to war, and the soldier decides he's just going to put his gun down and clip his nails for a while and not stand guard. We can't afford to do that, church. We've got to be aware of what is going on all the time. And so the weapons that's formed against each one of us are specifically designed to take you out. Because the enemy will study you, and he knows your history, and he knows the weaknesses that come in your family line. And he will use those things against us. So I was thinking about this, and I thought about in the book of Esther, how Haman plotted and schemed against Mordecai. Do you know what story I'm talking about? Are you familiar with that? Queen Esther. You see, nobody knew that Esther was a Jew, and she was in the king's household. And this Haman was so jealous of Mordecai. Jealousy is hatred. It will take you out. It will do everything it can to destroy you. It amazes me how people will get so upset with other people when they're successful and they begin to succeed, and then they're talking about them and tearing them down and trying to destroy their reputations and their businesses. This does not make sense to me. You know, if we bless those that are being blessed, then God is going to bless us. If we curse those that are being blessed, then we get the curse back on us. Hallelujah. God knows the intents of our hearts. And he knew that Haman hated Mordecai. He was so jealous of him. And Haman sat back and imagined and schemed things against Haman so that he, or against Mordecai, so that he could take him out. You know, he could see in his mind, he could see Mordecai hanging from gallows that were 90 feet tall. And why in the world would he want him that tall? Well, so that everyone could see his enemy hanging from those gallows. Because to him, Mordecai was an enemy. But Mordecai was a righteous man. You see, the devil will cause people to look at you in a different way. He will use them. He looks to see what weapon he can form and use against us. But you see, in Mordecai's situation, he served a God that was seated in the courts of heaven. And our God is seated in the courts of heaven, and he sees everything that's going on. And God began to work on his behalf. And Esther called a fast, and she prayed, and she said she had come into the kingdom for such a time as this, because she was willing to go into the king's chamber. She could have been killed instantly, but he stretched out his scepter, and that was favor for her. And God just began to work in the king's heart as Esther began to present her case before him. But notice, Esther didn't do any of that till she had fasted and prayed. We've got to fast and pray. Jesus says we've got to watch and pray. Unless we enter into temptation, we've got to watch and pray. We've got to be alert. And so God ruled in that situation, and it was Haman that ended up being hung, not Mordecai. Because God fights our battles, and he will destroy the enemy. We've got to hold on to Jesus, because no weapon that forms against us is going to prosper. And we are the ones that are to pray and to condemn what the enemy is doing in our lives. We don't take it in and agree with it. No, we do like Elder Sylvia does. She just goes like this. Somebody will say something to her, and, you know, they may not even realize what she's doing, but she'll just be going like this. I am not taking that on my shoulders. That is not mine. That does not belong to me. You just take that right back, because no weapon formed against us will prosper. It's very much the same thing when Moses led the children of Israel and they got up to the Red Sea. And he told them to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And he stretched forth his rod, and those waters divided, and they went across on dry land. Because no weapon formed against them was going to prosper. There were all kinds of weapons behind them. They could hear the sound of the chariots and the weapons and the army coming against them. I can't even imagine the intense feeling of fear that would strike the people. But Moses says, oh no, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And God delivered them from their enemy. God is a good God. No weapons formed against us are going to prosper. So the devil will do what he can to try and take us out. Prosper in the Hebrew, there should be a definition in my PowerPoint. Next slide. Yes, there it is. The root meaning of the Hebrew word translated prosper is to push forward. So no weapon that is formed against us is going to push forward. You know, we stand upon the rock Christ Jesus, right? Is that who we're standing on? That's who we're trusting in? And when you think about the rocks that are along the ocean coast, and you think about the roaring waves that come up against them and splash up against them, they continue to stand. Because if you can imagine that the enemy comes in like a flood and he pushes up against us, but when we stand upon the rock Christ Jesus, we'll not be moved. Hallelujah. We used to sing a chorus, I shall not be moved. Like a tree planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. And that's the determination we have to get within our spirit, within our minds, so that we're thinking that way. So we're not thinking about being defeated. We're not thinking about giving in. But we know that we will stand strong in the Lord. So anything, nothing the enemy throws at you will succeed. If you're walking with God, you can only self-destruct. And that's when you start letting that voice talk to you. Oh, just go ahead and quit. Oh, just go ahead and have one drink. Just go ahead. It'll be okay. You can quit smoking tomorrow. You can stop looking tomorrow. You see, it'll just keep going. Lust is never satisfied. It always wants more. Always wants more. And I was talking with Lydia this morning. It's like the lust of the flesh will just cry out and crave so many things. But that is what we have to crucify and put to death. You've got to tell it no. You've got to tell it no. Nothing the enemy throws at us can succeed when we're holding on to the Lord. No weapon. And when you think about weapons, think about the all of the weapons that men have. You know, all the weapons in the natural. All the different kinds of guns there are. Landmines, there's drones, all kinds of explosive. They have laser beams. They have all kinds of things now. And the technology just keeps going, and there's a whole lot of weapons that we don't know about that our military has, that they have stockpiles of things that we don't know about. And that's in the natural realm, but there's many things that the enemy is planning and has stockpiles of that God will make us aware of when it's coming against us. He's not going to leave us in the dark. And he already knows what he's scheming. And so he wants us to walk with that victory mentality, that kingdom mentality. I'm in the kingdom of God, and there is no weapon that's formed against me that is going to prosper. And as I thought about this, you know, we fear so much of losing our lives. But yet at the same time, if we are living for Christ and we lose our lives, then we have really gained. To live is Christ. Paul said to die is gain. And so God's thinking is very different than our thinking. He says precious in the eyes of the Lord are the death of his saints. And so as God's timing comes into our life, God is always walking with us, and no weapon formed is going to prosper in our lives. I thought of Matthew 10:28. It says, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Hallelujah. Can I have the next slide, please? Isaiah 54:17. We've read this. Let's go to the next one. 4-5. Let's read this together. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. So the Lord strikes the earth with his mouth. It's what he speaks. His words come forward, and they strike the earth. to destroy the enemy. They strike to earth to realign situations. They strike the earth to bring turnarounds in our life. The Word of God is powerful, and we need it to strike the earth. We need the breath of His lips to slay the wicked. When we pray the Word of God, when we trust God, He will take out our enemies. And it's awesome to sit back and pray and intercede and take care of what's in the spirit realm, because we have the authority to do that and watch the Lord move on our behalf, and the outcome becomes very different because of God. Righteousness. God clothes us with righteousness. Job said, I put on my righteousness as clothing. And God gives us this righteousness. He covers us with the robe of righteousness. Can we have the next verse? Live for righteousness. 1 Peter 2:24. Let's read that. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. You know, this morning, the scripture says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. If there is anything you're struggling with this morning, confess it to the Lord. The scripture also tells us that if we declare with our mouth, once again, life and death is in the tongue. When we declare with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. You can be saved this morning. This morning is also communion. And so I encourage you this morning. I'm going to ask praise team to come on up. We're going to sing Awesome God again as we receive communion today, because communion is a time to celebrate. Amen? We celebrate what the Lord did for us on the cross. We celebrate that we have this great salvation, and we extend an invitation to each one of you. If you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you're not walking with the Lord where you should be, then this morning, get your heart right with the Lord. Let him turn things around for you. I just sense there's someone here really facing an intense battle. And it feels like it's an upward hill. And you're trying to get up that hill. But you just don't have the strength. Let's just close our eyes. Lord, whoever that is this morning, we pray for them, Lord. That you strengthen their heart, their soul. Lord, you're saying this morning that they're going to make it. They're going to make it through. This weapon is not going to prosper that the enemy has formed against them. But Lord, we're going to trust you. Just take a hold of the Lord's hands. Elder Sylvia, you can come on up and begin preparing for the elders to serve communion. Just take, in your mind, take a hold of the Lord's hand. And he's releasing strength to you today. I just feel this surge of strength that God is releasing into us today. Because we're going to make it. We cannot fail. The fight is fixed. And we're going to make it. We're determined this morning. Lord, I just thank you that you give us the strength to go through. You know, the scripture says, yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Every spirit of fear, we bind you this morning in Jesus' name. We command you to loose the people of God. Every spirit of doubt and unbelief, we bind you in the name of Jesus. Come out of the people of God. Let the word arise. Let God arise. Let the spirit of the living God arise in us, who reigns in heaven and reigns in earth. The awesome God that we serve. We thank you, Jesus. We celebrate together this morning as we receive our communion. As we sing this song, come on up and take the elements and take them back to your seat. And Elder Jim is going to facilitate this part of the service.